Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This week, we're going to talk about something very important, and that is being a partner to the mother of your child. This topic assumes that you are still together for the most part, but we'll also probably touch on a little bit. You know, Derek, you have some experience with just, you know, we talked about it in our co-parenting episode a little bit, but remaining amiable and agreeable with the mother of your child if you aren't together anymore.
I mean, that it's always better to be friendly. I don't say friends, I say friendly with, in the case of like my situation, doesn't always work out. I guess I can play, you know, opinions on both sides, but like my current situation, it's not what it once was. It has gone downhill. So I can speak on both halves.
And like I said, the main focus here is going to be, you know, being a partner to your partner, right? To the person that you're raising this child with. And that's hard, right? Because especially your first kid, right? This is where I'm at, right? I have one daughter, she's 2 years old, and the last 2 years of my life changed dramatically, right? Because my wife and I have been partners for 10 years. We know how to be a couple. We know how to be there for each other. We know how to show up. We know what each other likes. We know how we spend time together. We know how to manage that relationship. And then you throw a wrench in there that is parenthood and having this third person that we have to take care of. And it's really easy, especially, and I mean, I'm speaking from my personal experience. I was learning how to be a dad, right? I mean, I'd never changed a diaper before. I'd never really like been around kids. I'm the youngest in my family. I don't have any like cousins that lived in the same state when I was growing up that were younger than me. Like my first experience being around a baby for more than like, you know, interacting with other people's kids at social events was my daughter being born. And so I had to learn all of that, right? I had to learn how to show up as a dad. And it was so easy to slip into, I'm a dad. That's what I'm doing. I'm being a dad.
Yeah.
And forget that I am also a husband and a partner and a friend to Emily, right? Like it's so easy to lose track, and especially managing, you know, new parenthood and working a full-time job and always having a side project of some sort going on. Plus, you know, God forbid I try to keep up on a hobby on top of all of that. You know, it's there's so much to juggle and so much to balance. It can be easy to let that, especially if you have a good relationship, right? Because like Emily and I, we had things figured out. Like I said, we've been together for a long time. It was a sure thing, right? It was something that I knew we had a rock solid foundation. We were good. So it was easy to kind of let my foot off the gas there to focus on other things. But that's the most important relationship in your life, right? Like your wife, your husband, your partner, whoever it is that you're raising this kid with, like that's your rock. That's the person that you're going through this hard journey with. So making sure that you're still friends, making sure that you still date each other and still show up for each other is a huge part of that.
Yeah, because one of the things that like my wife and I discuss all the time or bring up or you see on social media is you spend so much time being a parent that by the time all the kids leave the house, assuming there's multiple kids, when that final kid leaves, you look at your spouse and you don't know who they are anymore. You that person that you just spent the last 18 years with, you don't know, like, they're a complete stranger. Y'all don't know each other's, what makes each other tick or what makes each other laugh, because you weren't focused on building that bond with that person. You were building that bond with the child, the children. Like you made a good point. Like, life gets in the way. Working a full-time job, having multiple children, it's hard. Like, my wife and I don't. I'm trying to think. Like, it has been a while since we've gone on a date, just her and I. We date maybe twice a year if we're lucky, and that's sad to say. Obviously, life circumstances have happened, and we're trying to remedy that, but we don't want the next 16 years to go by, because Ivy's 2 years old, and then missed out on all the time together.
Yeah, well, and for me and for Emily and I, what that looks like is we have changed the way that we date, right? Because, like, yeah, I think since Alana is born, we've had maybe two or three like dates where her sister watched Alana for a couple hours so we could go get lunch or grab a cocktail together, just the two of us. But those are few and far between, and not nearly the, two or three dates a week that we were having before we had a kid, because now we have a kid all the time, right? Like, that's job number one. And so our date night is Alana's in bed, let's go eat ice cream on the couch and talk, or watch half of a movie before she wakes up and needs to nurse or something, but we're gonna leave the room and cuddle and be together on the couch or in the other room in the house, rather than just fall asleep or sit up and read a book in bed well until both of us pass out, right? Like, we make date night that 2 hours between when Alana falls asleep and when I fall asleep.
And see, I didn't even think about that, because her, like, April and I, like, once the kids go to bed, that's our time. Obviously, we have our things here and there. She's got to catch up on work, clean the house a little bit to start the next day, fresh. But, like, we'll sit there and we'll put on some stupid show that we both enjoy, and we'll sit there and we'll have a big old bowl of ice cream, or we'll sit there and we'll watch TikTok because she's got so many to show me, just because she wants, to spend those small moments of just, like, laughter. Just we she spends all day just, like, super stressed because she's got the two kids plus a full-time job all at the same time, while I have a full-time job but I'm not with the kids, and just to let loose. So, like, I like that you changed the date, because in my mind, yeah, it's a date is you go out. And
And we had to, right? Because otherwise we wouldn't be dating. it just wouldn't happen, right? I mean, especially, and everybody's different, right? Like, Emily and I have both been very hesitant to leave Alana, because she's our first kid, and, like, we're really particular about our parenting and stuff. Like, we're probably way overprotective, but, like, it's a flaw that we have, that we share, right? And, like, so we wouldn't have, for the first probably 6 months of her life, like, we didn't leave her alone with anybody, right? Like, we were always there. And so we couldn't have dated for 6 months or more, right? And we like each other. Like, we want to spend time together. And we want to make sure that we continue to like each other, right? Like, you were talking about, like, empty nesters have this thing where, like, you spent 18 years being a dad to a kid, and she spent 18 years being a mom to a kid, and you guys completely forgot that you were there. The only interactions that you had were raising the child together, not actually being a couple. And it's a really easy thing to slip into, not being a partner. I had a really interesting conversation recently, around kind of this idea of partnership through parenthood. And had the realization that you can be a good partner and a bad parent at the same time, and you can be a good parent and a bad partner at the same time, right? So, like,
Get it.
not to project too much, so please correct me if you feel differently here, but like your ex is not a bad mom. You trust her to raise your daughter and to keep your daughter safe and to parent her, but she's not a good partner for you, which is why you guys aren't together anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll
I
agree with
mean,
you,
various
without
reasons.
going to, yeah, like, without
Yeah.
going into a whole different topic that we won't ever go into.
Yeah. And I'm not
I
saying
mean,
she's a bad partner or you're a bad partner. I'm saying the two of you were not a good
like,
partnership. But
we did not work out. Like,
yeah.
either of my two ex-wives, like, obviously there was a reason why they are now my ex-wives. But if I felt like my children were in danger, then yeah, like I would definitely step in. So you're definitely right in your thinking.
Yeah. And so, you know, the opposite can be true too, right? I mean, there's countless cases of dads who, you know, love their wife and care for their wife and just don't really show up for their kids well. Like because, you know, the mom raises the kid or the other parent raises the kid and that's not their job. Their job is to take care of the house and the wife, you know, or whatever. And so finding that balance of being a good dad and a good partner, it's tough. And you have to do things like change the way that you think about date night and do things, you know, differently where, you know, hey, we're not gonna go see a movie in theaters for the next year because we have a 1-year-old and that's just not the way it's gonna fly. But let's make, instead of laying in bed and sitting on our phones and watching this movie kind of, you know, half-assed passively watching it, let's make time. We've got 2 hours at the end of the night after our daughter is asleep. Let's pop some popcorn and sit in the living room and, you know, make it feel like a movie theater experience with the two of us and be active and involved and intentional in each other's lives to
Yeah, so like,
remain connected.
and 'cause, and you hit on a really good point, is the phones. Like, we th there are times that, yes, we're on our phones, but like at that time, like, we don't stay on our phones because it is the intentional time spent with each other. And a lot of times you will, and I think that's where a lot of it happens too, is, you know, people are catching up on the latest sports stats or fashion trends, I don't know. Like, it's what people, I'm you and I are very similar, so like I would be researching whatever new hobby I'm into, but like I know at the end of the day, like, my hobbies are fleeting, and I'm not going to lose my wife over something stupid that could wait till tomorrow, you know?
My hobbies are fleeting. My marriage should not be.
Like, thank you. Exactly. So, and it's And I think a lot of people just always assume that nothing will ever happen, and I think that leads to the stranger in the bed next to you after, you know, once 18 years has passed. You assume, you feel safe, you feel comfortable. In reality, like, things have changed a lot.
Well, it's just so important to talk about it, right? I mean, continue to check the tally marks. Talking to your wife, talking to your partner is the most important thing that you can do, as a partner and as a parent, because it's so important. It can be to varying degrees. Emily and I put a lot of intention towards very specific intentional communication with each other, to the degree that we have marriage meetings, in the same way that you would have, and like with the same gravitas and scheduling of a business meeting, where we check in and we talk about our schedules and our lives and, you know, big things that are coming up and things that we, you know, want to change, things that we want to do. And if you think about it, you know, your marriage, your partnership to this person who you're parenting with, that is your partner in life, it's the most important relationship that you have, or it should be, in my opinion. And you put that kind of intention towards other things, right? Like you and I both work day jobs. We have meetings where we get together with our teams and say, hey, this is where we're at. This is where we want to get to. What are our goals? What are you struggling with? What am I struggling with? How can we work together to accomplish these goals together as a team? and work through that with a very specific, like, we set aside an hour on Wednesday to have this, you know, WIG meeting or check-in or whatever it is, whatever verbiage your company uses. Why don't you have that same intention with your partner, right? And that's the conversation that we had is, you know, we should, we want to. And so we started having those intentional meetings and having the same conversations, right? This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what we want to accomplish this year. This is what, you know, this is what has worked for you. This is what has worked for me. How can we find the best way to raise this kid, to make rent, to, you know, buy the new car that we want, or, you know, whatever, and have those discussions about what that is, right? Hey, I want a new car. Hey, we need a new TV. Hey, you know, whatever those big life expenses are. But having those check-ins is also a great time to realize, hey, you know, we had a marriage meeting 2 weeks ago, and it's been 2 weeks and we haven't dated. We haven't spent time with each other intimately. You know, we haven't watched a movie. We haven't, you know, cuddled on the couch. It can literally be anything, right? But having that moment of, hey, like, we're losing track. We need to reconnect, because life is getting in the way of our marriage, and that can't happen for us. And if you do that consistently, and you have, you know, whether it's weekly or every 2 weeks or even just once a month, you're going to catch it before 18 years go by and you don't know the person who's sleeping in your bed, right?
And so, like, and I know I'm guilty of it, and I know anybody listening to this, anybody watching this, is probably guilty of it too. Is
totally,
and
I am,
and it's a point that you touch on constantly. Is the yes, it's easy to say talk to your spouse, talk to your wife, talk to whoever, but when you sit down and in the business meeting sense, it gets awkward, it gets uncomfortable, like, because like I'm a very introverted person, like, I don't know how to really express my emotions. So sitting down trying to talk about my emotions is very weird to me. And so usually, as a lot of men do, you bottle it all up until just something sets you off. But I have tried opening up a little bit more. Could I personally do the once a month, every two, or not once a month, once a week, every 2 weeks? Like, probably not, but I have been working on something like, hey, I'm feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
And I like to think that it's helping, because then instead of me just like shutting down and being distant, like, she now understands. And then obviously, like, I ask the same question, like, I you know, my wife and I have been married for 5 years now. Like, I know when something's bothering her, so I ask, what's wrong? Like, I know something's bothering you, but you just need to tell me.
Yeah.
So then she doesn't bottle it all up inside too. So, and baby steps. Pretty much what I'm getting at is, just, you don't have to go as extreme as, let's set aside a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Like,
yeah,
hey, I'm feeling down right now. Hey, I'm super excited because an old friend's coming to town. Something small. Or ask them, hey, what's one thing that you're just excited about in passing? I'll obviously listen. Don't, hey honey, you excited about something? Cool. Like,
yeah, no, totally. And that's, I mean, that there's a lot to touch on there. So first and foremost, I think, so one of the things that Emily and I, the way that we end our night every single night, there are failures. There are always failures, right? But the way we try to end every single night, is before we go to bed, we asked each other, what our favorite part of the day was. Because parenting is such a roller coaster and it's so overwhelming. And it's easy to talk about the challenges, right? It's kind of like, I'm a big old fucking bubbly optimist, and it's still in my nature to vocalize the negative more than the positive, right? Because I don't always talk about when things go right, but I almost always talk about when things go wrong. Yeah. And so it's really easy to throughout the day be like, oh, she threw another cup of yogurt on the floor, or like, oh, she fell off the couch again. Oh, like, you know, and vocalize those frustrations. So at the end of the day, just talking about what your favorite part of the day was and positive thing, it builds habits of good communication, because it gets you in the mindset of talking about the good too. And for me, and all of this is people are so unique and individual, right? So everybody processes emotion differently. Everybody communicates differently. And what works for me might not work for you. And what works for both of us might not work for another dad who's listening to this. But it puts me in the mindset of observance too, so that when those good things happen throughout the day, I'm paying attention to them, right? Because a lot of the time, the reason why I don't vocalize the good thing that happened is because I'm not really focusing on it. Like, I'm in like trauma response brain, right? I'm waiting for that yogurt cup to get knocked off the counter. I'm not waiting for her to be calm and chill, right? Like, my daughter, food is a challenge right now. She's almost two, and she's in that like kind of manic toddler phase of like, she wants to eat, but then I'll make her a plate of food and she'll fling it off the table because she's so excited that she gets, you know, or like whatever. Like, and so me giving her a meal and having her like be excited and grab a fork and start eating is a big positive thing. But I'm not necessarily going to be like, hell yeah, babe, the baby didn't throw anything, right? Like, in the moment, I'm just like waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
But because I've gotten into the habit of having those conversations at the end of the day, of like really thinking, because when we first started doing this, Emily asked me off the cuff. I will give 100% credit. This is her idea through and through. And we've been doing this for longer than we've been parents, probably 3 years now. But the first time she asked me, she was like, hey, what was your favorite part of today? I had to like take a step back and be like, I don't know. I kind of had a like not like I didn't have a bad day, but like nothing really particularly wonderful happened today. Like, it was just kind of a Tuesday. And she was like, well, like really think about it. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like, we got pizza for lunch and I had been craving pizza for a couple days, and that was really cool. Right. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, I won the lottery. Like, it can be a tiny little thing, but then it gets you in the mentality of like looking out for those tiny little things, right? Because I know at the end of the night today, when I go to bed, Emily's going to ask me what my favorite part of the day was, and I want to have an answer, right? I don't want to have to sit there and be like, my day is so bad. It's okay, man. Like, depression happens, life is hard, things get shitty sometimes, but like just having that mentality of gratitude and seeking those positive moments so that I can share them with her later has been so good for my mental health and for our communication. And because we've developed that habit of sharing the wins at the end of the day, now when things happen throughout the day, I'm much more inclined to open up and to talk to her and to share my feelings. Because again, American raised male, talking about feelings is not my default setting. Like, I'm getting better, but it is not how I was raised. It is not the mentality that I default to.
No, and we sort of tried that with our oldest a couple years ago, because we wanted to get him out of that same mentality. But we, you know, it's weird that we never tried to do that ourselves. And I like that. And maybe we need to start doing that, because it is something so simple.
Yeah.
Like, because yeah, we as just Americans in this society nowadays, you're so focused on all the bad. Everything is bad. Everything sucks. And like,
yeah,
it's not true. Like, what the smallest thing that made me happy, you probably didn't even think about.
Yeah, the negativity is always going to be the most vocal, right? Like, it's a tragic and distinctly American example. But like, I always use the example of like, newspapers don't report every day that nobody shoots up a school, right? Like, that's not what makes the headline. The bad thing is what makes the headline.
Yeah.
Things going well, we assume that things are going to go well. When they go poorly, we talk about them. But it's so important to be grateful when things are going good, right? It's so important to be happy and feel gratitude that things didn't go bad today. Even if nothing went like exceptionally good, that's great. Like, having a perfectly normal day where things went the way you expected is wonderful in its own way.
No, and see, like, that's another good point that you touched on, because yeah, there's going to be times that you're going to be like, man, like, what good did happen? And like I, because you know, you and I have worked the same job, so we both know how fast things could go sideways. And if a day that something didn't go sideways, that is a fucking fantastic day.
Yeah, totally.
But no, and it's I like this topic because it's we do overthink it. I know I've been overthinking this entire time of being that partner for my partner and thinking that I had to go above and beyond. And like you're just really making it for me especially, but I know for anybody listening to this, anybody watching this, that it doesn't take a lot to be better.
Yeah. One, and I don't pretend to be an expert in this. I'm still figuring it out and learning how to be a better partner for my wife every single day, and how to be a better person for myself every single day, because communicating with her helps me a lot, right? Like just like I said, it puts me in a better mindset. It allows me to be a more genuine and connected and emotional human being by finding those connections with her. To your point about, the marriage meetings being kind of a big thing. We touched on it a little bit, I think, in our like hobbies and autonomy and making time for yourself episode. That like it doesn't have to be a big grandiose thing, right? Like the gift that you gave April of, getting a week in a hotel to pamper herself is awesome. And also, you can't always spare that much time or that much money. So finding 20 minutes every other day can add up to a big amount of time. Communication is the same way. The reason why, and I said it before, I'll say it again, everybody communicates differently and everybody processes emotion differently. So what works for me might not work for you. But the thing that Emily and I both really like about the marriage meeting concept is the intention behind it, right? That like our relationship deserves the same level of respect as a business or a project that we are going to set aside time that, and obviously, right, like if a kid falls and breaks their leg, you can postpone that meeting, right? But like just like a work meeting, if an emergency came up, you're going to step away and you're
Reschedule.
not going to be in that meeting, but you're going to stop your day to day. You're going to stop updating the spreadsheet that you update every single day and make sure that at 10 a.m., when your boss wants to talk to you about your goals, you're ready to talk about your goals unless the world is burning. In the same way, at 9 p.m. on Friday, I'm going to be ready to talk to my wife about what our goals are and how connected we are. And like, I don't want to in any way make it sound like we do this consistently. We did this really consistently before we had a kid. It was every 2 weeks. We would do this very consistently. Now we have a kid and life is wild and we check in as often as we possibly can, but I'll be completely transparent. It's been a while. But especially when we realize like, oh man, it's been 6 weeks since we had a meeting. We should talk. And like, usually when that happens is when things are going well, because if bad things happen, I'm like, shit, we need to talk about this. We should schedule some time to talk about this problem or this struggle. When things are going well, it's easy to just kind of lose track of that and be like, well, I don't have anything to talk about. Again, I don't have anything to talk about because nothing's going wrong, right? Like we should still be talking about it because we should be talking about why things are going well so we can keep doing that.
And back then, retouching on the point of, noticing good things are happening and
Yeah.
verbalizing the good things. So
Well, and it's also just a great way to so Emily is very introverted and without going too deeply into like a psychological profile on her, she often feels like she is taking up too much space or like she is bothering somebody by asking them a question or bringing something up, right? And so in the middle of the day on any given Tuesday, if we're just hanging around the house, she can feel awkward. And babe, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry for speaking for you, but we've talked about this enough that I feel pretty comfortable vocalizing it. She feels like if she talks to me about a struggle that she's having or something that she wants to change or a big expense that she wants us to start saving for or a big expense that we need to buy like tomorrow and we need to figure out, she feels like a burden bringing that to me. Like she's like taking time out of my day or that she's like bothering me. And it's not anything that I have done to make her feel that way. Quite the opposite. I try desperately to make sure that she knows she can bring anything to me anytime. But she just has that ingrained in her because of who she is and the life that she's lived. And so by having, especially when it is consistent, right? Friday night, she knows that she's going to have an hour of my time that is specifically there to talk to her. So those little things that don't necessarily need to be brought up right away in the moment, but that she wants to be able to talk about, or she wants to work through, or she wants to have a conversation about, but she feels like would, bother me or take away from my time. That is her time, right? And so it gives her an outlet to feel comfortable bringing those things up and not feel like a burden. And I feel like that's a really common thing that specifically women, but people in general in this country and probably all over the world feel like they are taking up too much space and are a burden to other people around them. So by giving her the gift of that time, she knows I like that communication matters enough to me that I'm going to clear out an hour of my schedule. And if she has nothing to say, it's totally fine. And if she talks for an hour, that hour is hers, you know?
Yeah. Like that because I feel like I'm sort of a little bit like her, So I can completely understand that. You want to ask the question, but you're scared to, hey, I know you got this going on, and
Yeah.
I don't want to
Well, because
distract you per se.
and I get it, right? Like the world revolves around me, so like I'll ask whatever I want. But it's so funny, man, because you and Emily are so similar, and April and I are so similar. And I think it's why, like, as couples, we have similar dynamics, but like opposed, right?
The
Yeah,
other person.
exactly. But like I'm the same way. Like my life is busy, so of course your life is busy too. I don't want to distract you or take away from your time. Like, especially, it's so easy to be dismissive of things that are bothering me in the light of I don't want to bother him with it, right? Like that thing kind of irritated me, but it's not really a big deal, and they've got a lot going on because their life has to be as busy as my life is, so whatever, I'll just ignore it. And that sucks, and that's not fair to me, and that's not fair to you, and that's not fair to whoever I should be telling that to. In my case, my wife; in your case, your wife. Like, it's shitty, and that goes again. That is a life skill. That is a partnership skill for your marriage, but also it goes for your bosses and your coworkers and your friends too. Like, you and I have similar check-ins about this podcast. That we're
Yeah.
what is our goal? What are we doing? Are we on the same page? To make sure that we're aligned, because it's an important project for us, just like my marriage is an important project for me.
No, and exactly. And the one thing that I wanted to touch on, because we keep bringing up the communication. And
I'm never gonna relent.
no,
Sorry.
you're
Not
good.
sorry.
I feel like people forget that communication is listening, not just hearing, but listening. It is not waiting for your turn to speak. It's actually understanding what that person is saying. Same kind of thing as if you have something to say, making sure that that person is understanding what you're saying, because it doesn't help if you and I have a conversation, we walk away from it, and we took two different things away from it.
And it's
Or
really easy
just,
to do.
yeah, or just word vomiting. Like you don't want to just word vomit at somebody, because then what? Then nothing ever gets solved. Nothing ever gets fixed. Like, you need to make sure that the recipient understands what you said, how you said it, what you meant to say. Like, I'm terrible with my words. So like I will say something, and then somebody will be like, are you sure? Like, yeah, like what's the issue? Like, no. Just making sure that your communication is heard and understood, and that it is a two-way street. So if you say something that the other person doesn't agree with, that you are open to that criticism. I guess I don't want to say criticism, that differing opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's, we could go into basic communication skills here in a deep level, but if you're starting to have those tough conversations, a really great thing to practice, and you can even talk to your partner about it, because it can be kind of weird and feel like ingenuine if you start doing it and your partner doesn't receive it well. But when your partner shares, a big piece of information like that, paraphrase it back to them, right? Don't repeat the sentence back word for word, but say like, "Hey, okay, I hear that you're saying this." And then that gives your partner the opportunity to say, "Oh, yeah, hell yeah, you get it." Or, "No, that's not what I mean at all." Right? Because sometimes I can listen and I'm not going to comprehend, whether that's because the way that they said it doesn't make sense to me, or because I have my own preconceived notions of what they were going to say or trying to say. But doing that, and doing that both ways, right? So when you say something, your partner paraphrases it back to you. When they say something to you, you paraphrase it back to them. And by doing that, you're going to really ingrain it in your mind, right? Because then you're not just hearing what they're saying, you're also saying it yourself. And so that repetition and that the two different styles of mental processing are really going to make that soak in more, so that you understand it even better, and can continue to have a conversation around it. And it completely removes any the inconvenience of misunderstanding, right? I can't tell you how many times Emily has told me something that was like, "Hey, this is a problem." And I went, "Got it, I'll fix it." And then I made things exponentially worse because I didn't understand what the problem was. I was assuming based off of what I thought the problem was, not what she actually had a problem with. And like, it's really common. So it removes that, right? Because if I had turned around and said, "Oh, so like this is what the problem is, and would you think that this is a good solution for that?" And then she could say, "No, that's not at all, like that's a problem of in and of itself. We can talk about that later, but what I was saying was this is the problem." And then I would paraphrase that back and she'd go, "Yes." And then I'd fix the actual problem instead of that thing that I came up with in my own dumb man brain.
No, which is like, which yeah, like, and maybe like, yes, the paraphrasing it back, but make sure you don't overdo it so that it doesn't sound
Yes.
like you're mocking
Again, and that's why, like,
him.
you can start this gently, or you can just say, "Hey, this idiot on the internet said this thing, and I think it might be a good idea. Do you want to try this thing where when you say something, I paraphrase it back to you to make sure that I understood what you said?" And your wife is probably going to say, "Wow, that guy is an idiot."
Well,
But
let's do it.
let's do it. Let's try it. I'm always open to new experiences. But yeah, man. And as far as like, dating your partner, that's a full-time job, right? Showing up for your partner as a co-parent, as a parent, as a partner, because you're, man, I can tell you, at least for my wife, my wife loves nothing more than watching me be a dad. Like, she loves watching me take care of Alana. But showing up and taking care of her when she's taking care of Alana, also super sexy. Make sure that her water cup is full, for not nearly as often as she would like it to be, but for a while I was trying to consistently, whenever Emily nursed Alana in the evening, I would give Emily a foot massage while they were nursing. Like, first of all, gonna earn you major points, and like, it gives you that connection while something is happening, right? Like, you don't have to wait for your kids to go to bed to date. Like, kiss your wife in front of your kids, kiss your partner in front of your kids. It like, don't raise those kids who are like, "Ew, mom and dad like each other." Your kids should know that you love each other. Your kids should see that you are in love, and that's why they exist. Right? Like, because at the end of the day, like, if we weren't making out, we wouldn't be making babies.
No, and
Not to be too crass about it, but like, I mean, that's the bottom line, right? You got here somehow. You should know that I love your mom. You should know that we're friends, that she's the most important person in my life, because I want Alana to find a partner who is as crazy about her as I am about Emily. Like, 100%.
yeah, of course.
That is the goal. I mean, assuming that she's even remotely into that when she gets to that phase in life.
But that's a bridge to cross and to get there. But no, I mean, I think this was a very great topic. That one of the more serious ones, and sometimes we got to have those. But it's one of those that we want relationships to last. Like we may be just a couple of idiots who, obviously, like I'm no expert. Third marriage here, but learning every day. Hearing what works for you. Now I have something in my notebook that I can be like, I want to try this because I want this marriage to last longer than my last one. Which has already happened, but like more speaking in general terms here, somebody who's like, oh, my relationship's on the rocks and I don't know how to fix it. You know what? You have given that. Like I will say that you have given great information for this episode.
Well, thanks.
And
I think your experience is valid too, man. You show up for your wife just as much as I show up for mine. We just do it differently. And
we do like
we're both
yeah,
figuring out what that looks like.
and I just want other partners, other dads to just take, if you take one thing from this podcast, just one thing, we'd be happy.
Hey, also let us know. Comment down below. Email us. Hit us up on social media. How do you stay connected? Because I know for a fact there are people watching this podcast who have been married way longer than I have and have way more kids than I do. How are you making it work? How are you dating your wife? How are you being a partner and a parent at the same time? Because it's complicated, and I'm still figuring it out, and Derek's still figuring it out. And we rely on you guys as much as you rely on us to help us figure it out.
Exactly. And then once y'all let us know that, also let us know what y'all want to hear next, because parenting is all over the place. Last week it was about letting your kids fail. We've done crazy Christmas episodes, and now on a more serious note, like what is something that is in your life that you want to hear about, or that you want somebody else to hear about? We're here for you to broaden your horizons and to help each other grow to be better parents, to be better dads.
Yeah, totally. Well, until next week, thank you so much for spending your time with us. I'm Andrew Goody,
And I'm Derek Botta.
and we are proud of you.